One question occurs to me right off the bat. What in the world, or out of this world, I suppose, are James and John up to? First of all, it seems as though they're trying to trick Jesus, doesn't it? Instead of simply asking him their question, they say first, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask you." Sounds like a children's game, doesn't it? Well, the Gospels offer several examples of the disciples acting like children. Jesus may have been divine, but his disciples were just as human as we are. Jesus responds to their request by asking, as any sensible person would, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And then James and John go from sneaky to cheeky. They say, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Why would they do that? Why would they ask Jesus for this? Do they think they're more deserving than the other disciples or all the countless others whom Jesus has healed and preached to along the way? The answer to that question is essentially yes, they do. After all, James and John were the only ones who, in the previous chapter, had accompanied Jesus and Peter up to the mountaintop during the Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus, whose clothes had become white as snow. And they proclaim unequivocally that they are prepared to suffer along with Jesus. And when he asks them, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" they reply with no hesitation, "We are able." James and John felt special. They were elite followers of the Messiah, ready to lay down their lives for Jesus. They deserved to sit by the side of Christ in glory. It's only fair. Problem is, Jesus is not preaching that kind of religion. He's not preaching a transactional relationship with himself or with his Father in heaven. He tells James and John, "To sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant." One of the greatest, or at least funniest, transactional religious relationships in modern cinema is in the 1967 film Bedazzled, starring Dudley Moore and Peter Cook. Anyone see that movie? Very few. Well, at least in this congregation. Now, this should not be confused with the 2000 remake of the movie starring Brendan Fraser and Elizabeth Hurley, which should be avoided at all costs. In Bedazzled, Dudley Moore plays a lovesick young man stuck in a dead-end job. And the devil, played to great effect by Peter Cook, appears before him one day offering 7 wishes in exchange for his soul. Dudley Moore signs on the dotted line and proceeds with the wishes, which are granted, but always with a twist, so that the poor man never quite obtains the object of his affections. My favorite wish is number 6, where Dudley Moore, after having his wishes to be with the woman he loves thwarted by interlopers he did not ask for or anticipate, requests that he and his desired would be 2 pious people living in splendid isolation from others and from the false glitter of the big city. The devil grants his wish, and Dudley Moore instantly finds himself in the full habit of a cloistered nun, along with his beloved, who is now his fellow nun, living in splendid isolation for the rest of their natural lives. The old selling your soul to the devil routine is, of course, great comedy fodder, but it may also be the clearest example of a transactional religious relationship. You give me what I want, I give you what you want. In today's gospel reading, James and John seem to be still under the impression that this is what Jesus is offering. They are, in essence, saying to Jesus, "We'll agree to be as holy as is humanly possible and to follow you even unto death, but in the next life, We want you to put us in front of everyone else, right by your side. Jesus, it turns out, is not offering a tit-for-tat relationship. But if that's not what's going on, if that's not what he's offering, why follow Jesus in the first place? Jesus tells James and John, and by extension his other disciples, and by extension all of us, that we are to follow his example and to strive to serve others rather than seeking to be served. But why would we do that unless Jesus is promising something tangible in return? We follow Jesus and his commandments to serve others because of what Peter says to Jesus two chapters earlier than today's passage. You are the Messiah. The Gospel of John has an expanded version of the same idea, where Peter says in chapter 6, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words that lead to eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. We follow Jesus not because of what he will do for us, but because of who he is for us. And we have come to believe and know that he is the Holy One of God. That trust itself brings us to where we all in our deepest souls long to be. Jesus says later in the Gospel of John, believe in God, believe also in me, so that where I am, there you may be also. We follow Christ because we know that he leads us, as the 23rd Psalm says, in right paths. Paths that lead us to where he is. And that is what we should all be after. Not to be above others in this life or in the next, like James and John are asking for. But to be with others in this life and to be with Christ in the next. Amen.